Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now on Masachim and Achot of Ayin Dalet Amud Bet, looking at the third Mishnah in this seventh parak. Kol haMenachot haNa'asot B'Kli. This is the second Mishnah on the page. Kol haMenachot haNa'asot B'Kli. All Menachot that are made in a Kli, that are prepared in a Kli, Tu'unot Shlosha Matanot Shemen. There's three different applications of oil. Yitzika, this is in backwards layout. Yitzika, which is pouring it on the mincha after it's done. Blila, which is pouring some oil that's mixed in. Matan sham mikli koram laseatan, and lining the surface of the kli with oil before you put any flour in. We'll get the order in a minute. Chalot, now, at what point do you do the blila in this case? Rebbe says, chalot blila. After it's already baked, you do the second application, divi Rebbe. Chachamim sold it. Chachamim disagree and say, no, you put it in when it's still flour. And we'll see their disagreement laid out. Hachalot tu'unot blila. Now when we come to ma'afei tanur, chalot tu'unot blila or kikin mishicha. So we have the chalot, the loaves, and the kikin, which are the wafers. The loaves have regular blila, as we just described. Rikikin instead have mishicha, which is putting the oil on top of the wafer after it's done. Ketzad Moshchan, and Tanakama's position is Kamin Chi, which is a Greek letter looking like a Latin X. Vashar Nachal in the Konim, whatever's left over of the log after putting the top on in an X form is eaten by the Konim, and again we'll see some details on that in the Gemara, and that it is not a matter of consensus. Now, the opening line, Kom Nachot Anasot Bekli Limute Mai, what's that excluding? Our Papa Limute Minchat Ma'afet, because Minchat Ma'afet is made in an oven, and the oven is its kli, as it were, even though, of course, it's in some sort of a piece when it's prepared, unless it's baked in an oven, as opposed to the pan, fry, machavat, and the deeper one, marcheshet, which is the focus of the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, v'minchat marcheshet korbanecha solet ba'shemen te'aseh. Solet ba'shemen means you put in oil first, then you put a flour on top of that. Now, korbanecha, it says, im minchat marcheshet korbanecha, so it tells that the marcheshet is called korbanecha, and machavat is also called korbanecha. Ligzera shava, what does that teach us? Makan matan shem mikli, aflahalan matan shem mikli. So machavat also requires putting shemen into the kli before you put the flour in. Mala alan yitzika uvlila, and if you take a look at the psukim about the machavat, you will see that they also require both bulila and yitzika, which is putting oil to mix into the flour and pouring oil on top at the end. Similarly with the marcheshet. And there is the source of our Mishnah. Now, chalot bolan, we have the machok, the rechachamim solet. Tan Rabbanan, let's see how this plays out. In the description of the mincha, it says solet bulila, solet chalot bulila, solet bulila. Right? Solet bulila, mention vlavat solet. That's chacham. So they say, it shows you that you do the mixing, which is the second oil, when it's still flour. Rebbe Omer, chalot bololan, shenemar, chalot bololot pashemen. Amru lo, valo lachmei todah, nemar ben chalot, lachmei todah, are also called chalot. V'yev shalot bololan, kshen chalot. There's no way, and we'll see why there's no way, to mix in the oil when they're already chalot, even though it says chalot. Ela solet, it must mean a chalot that were already mixed in with oil, not that they're mixed in after they're made into loaves. Kitzaro says, so here's Chachamim's order. Noten shem makli koram laseatan. First you put in oil, then you put in the flour. Noten shem aleha, and then you put oil on top of the flour, uvola, and you mix it in, v'lasha, and you knead, ofe, you bake, ufotata, and then break it into small breads. V'noten aleha shemen, and then you put oil on top of these breads, v'komets, and take a kmitza. Rebbe Omer, no, chalot bolan, how does that work? Shemar chalot bolan b'shemen, kitzar oseh, noten shem mekli, again, put oil in before the flour, kodem l'seh atav notna, then we don't put in the second oil. V'lasha, you knead it, v'ofeh, and you bake it, ufotata, break it into pieces, v'noten aleh Hashem, and then put oil on top of those pieces, uvolan, somehow mix them in, even though it's already baked, v'chozer v'noten aleh Hashem, and then you put another oil. That's the yitzika v'kometz dukmitza. Now, efshar to come in the Rabbanan the Rebbe Mahi. When Rabbanan said efshar in the case of lachmei todah as the proof, what did they mean efshar? Did they mean physically efshar? From Yitzchak revit shemen he. says, after all, you take a log and you divide it up, and now by the time you've gotten to Blila, all you're going to have is a Revit, and you've got, this is talking about half of the loaves of the Todah, because 10 of them are Marchesh and 10 of them are Machavat. So if that's the case, how are you going to possibly divide, sorry, half of them are Chalot and half of them are Revucha. So how are you going to divide? And after you've broken them into all these little pieces, you got 20 loaves. How are you possibly going to break this little bit of oil to portion it out to all of these pieces? So they say it's simply a quantity issue. Okay, achalot tunot blila kikin meshicha. The end of the Mishnah. Talking about achalot belulot v'lo rekikin belulin. So Torah says achalot belulot b'shemen or kikin meshuchin b'shemen. So the way we're understanding it is only the chalot are belulot and not the rekikin. Shacho valodinu. And now we're going to do a kavachomer, the sort of which we've seen much of in Zvachim Menachot. Ma chalot sheinan tunot meshicha tunot blila. So it seems that blila is more universal. Rekikin shtonim meshicha inodin shtonim blila. So rekikin, which have the odd one, which is meshicha, certainly should need blila. Tavadomar chalot belulot velo rekikin belulin. That's why the Torah says chalot belulot. Rekikin meshuchin, why is that? Velo chalot meshuchot shechalot velodino. Now flip it. Huma rekikin sheinan tunin blila, tunin meshicha. Wafers which do not need blila do need meshicha. Chalot shtonot blila din shtonot meshicha. So meshicha must be more universal. So chalot that do have blila certainly should have meshicha. Tavadomar rekikin meshuchim velo chalot meshuchot. The question is, how did we get that from there? It says chalot belot b'shemen rekikin meshuchim b'shemen. Maybe it's just talking in the typical case, and the reality is that you do both for both. My Talmuda, so Amarava lo lishtamet v'lichtov chalot meshuchot rekikin belulin. The Torah says chalot belulot rekikin belulin rekikin meshuchin in another case, so that's the lachmei todah. So why does the Torah, this is Rava's explanation, why does the Torah keep the same pattern if it means to mix and match, meaning you have to do both with both? Let it write in the opposite order here, but the fact that it always keeps the same order indicates that it's only chalot belulot and it's only rekikin meshuchin. Okay, ketzad moshchan kiminchi v'ashar nechal akonim, that's our Mishnah. Mai kiminchi, what's a chi? Amar v'chana kiminchi yivani, a Greek chi, which is looks like an X. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Mincha ba'am mechza chalot mechza rekikin. So mincha, this would be according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that you could bring a half and half, remember five chalot and five rekikin. Mevi log shemen v'chotzei. What do? You bring one log, but remember, you're going to have different distributions of oil here because of the halacha. You bring one log, chetzo l'chalot v'chetzo l'kikin. You divide it in half. Half goes, or it says a half log goes for the chalot, half for the rekikin. You do each thing properly with it. And you rub the oil on top of the rekik, just covering it all. Not a ki, not a kai. And the rest of the oil that's left over goes back to the chalot and gets mixed in, which means it all gets used up. So, by the way, the first opinion has to be Rabbi Shimon also, because Rabbi Shimon is the only one who would allow for a half and half. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, quoting Rabbi Shimon, says, you don't rub it on all of it, you just make an X. And the rest does not go back to the chalot, it goes to the kohanim. So he disagrees on two points, both the shape of the rubbing, and second of all, what happens to the surplus. We have another braita, and this could be the kulei alma. If you just bring rekikin, what do? You rub it on top of it, you rub it on top of it, you continue rubbing on top of it until you used up all the shemen. Shimon Yehuda, remember Shimon. So first of all, he's going to disagree about the shape. Moshchan kimin ki, the figure is a kai. Ushar Hashem and Achal HaKonim is also going to disagree. And it seems that he is the author of that line in our Mishnah. It's Rabbi Shimon, as per Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's report, that the rest of the Shema does not go back in, but rather is eaten by the Kohanim. Okay, this is the beginning of Mishnah Dalet. Kom rachot ha-nasot b'kli te'unot p'tita. All menachot made in the kli require ptita. What is ptita? It is taking the loaves, of which we typically make 10 loaves in a mincha, taking each loaf and breaking it into small pieces. We'll see how small. Limute mai. So what's this excluding when it says kol menachot hana'asot b'kli? Or papa limute shtei alechem lechem apanim. Shtei alechem lechem apanim, which are both baked, do not have a din of ptita. Let's see the background. Tana Rabbanan. at the end of that particular passage of the Machava, it says, Patot ota pitim, v'rav yatsakta, aleh ha-shemen mincha hi. What does that mean? Rabot kol menachot liftita. Why does it say mincha? To tell you that not only machavat, but all menachot need ptita. Yachol shenim rabeh af shtei alechem alechem apanim. I might think to include those two. Talmud lomar ota. Therefore, it's excluding something by saying, patot ota pitim. This and not another. What's the other? Shtei alechem alechem apanim. See why well, those are the two that are discounted. And then it says, v'yatsakta aleha shemen. So, and mincha, so again, they're using the same word mincha to, again, expand. I call it minichot l'ni yitzika. Yitzika, which you saw in the previous Mishnah, the last pouring of the oil on top of the baked piece, or the fried piece, it applies to all minachot. Yachoshen rabbe af minchat ma'feh, I might think to apply this to a ma'feh, tamen lomar, aleha shemen. Yatzakta aleha, and again, aleha is a mute. Otzita chalot v'otzita kikin, maybe, I only exclude chalot, because after all, they have the shemen mixed in. But I shouldn't exclude the rikikin, because after all, there the shemen is laid on top. So perhaps I also have to pour it on top after frying it. Tamid lomar hi. There was a mincha hi to exclude that also. So aleha and hi exclude the two forms of mafei tanur. My Talmudah, how did we get there? So emalotzi minchat kohanim, why don't I just use it to exclude minchat kohanim? And say minchat kohanim doesn't need yitzika because after all, it's all going to get burned anyways. Amarabe ezu the rashi tzarich miutim. The answer is that if I have two miutim, aleha and he, it must apply to a mincha that has two forms, each of which needs to be excluded, and that is mafei tanur because mafei tanur has both chalot and rikikin. Okay, the end of Mishnah Dalad, the rest of Mishnah Dalad, is about ptita minchat Yisrael. How do you take a regular minchat Yisrael? It's going to be eaten by kohanim. How do you do ptita? Kofel echad eshtayim. You take the little bread and you fold it over once, eshtayim l'arba, and then you fold that over again, so it's four pieces high, umavdil, and then you break at that fold part, so you've got four little pieces. Minchat kohanim, what do? Kofel echad eshtayim, eshtayim l'arba. You do the same folds, ve'nomavdil, but you don't break it apart. Minchat kohen mashiach, what do you do with minchat kohen gadol? It's brought every day. Loya mekapla. Not, you don't divide it at all. We'll see, it's not exactly the case. You don't fold it over at all. He disagrees and says there is no ptita on those, and his rule, just as we saw Rabbi Shimon holds about Hagasha, is no kmitza, no ptita, and everybody now agrees. Now there's several opinions as to what this may mean. Does it mean that the minimum shear of a ptita is a kazayit, or does it mean you have to break them down until they get that small, which means that's the maximum? Or does it mean, as Rashi says in his second opinion, that if you were to take an isaron and then make out of it 10 loaves and divide each one of those loaves into four pieces, each of the four pieces will be a kazayit. The kazayit will play a role a little later on in our Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. The pasuk says patot ota pitim. So patot, yachol ishnayim, I might think that just means break it into two parts. Break it apart, Talmud Lomar, pitim, patotota pitim, so that tells you two, and then another two, so four. E pitim yachol yasana piriyim, maybe I should just make it into crumbs. Talmud Lomar, ota. Ota means it has to be in some sort of a state. Ota liftitim, velo ptita liftitim. And the other piece here is that you have to break it into ptitim, not the pieces into ptitim. So it has to be that the ptitim that you have are fractions of the original loaf. And therefore, HaKetzad, Minchat Yisrael Kofel Achad Eshtayim, Eshtayim Le'arba Umavdil, as our Mishnah, Minchat Kohanim V'Kohen Mashiach. So in this Braita, they mix the two together. Hayam Kapla, you would fold it, but not divide it. Now, I ran into Lo Hayam Kapla. In our Mishnah, we said that Minchat Kohen Gadol is not folded at all. Rabbah, Enam Kapla Le'arba, Enam Kapla Le'Shtayim. So Rabbah says, what it means in our Mishnah, and evidently in this Braita, it didn't explicate a number, is that the Minchat Kohen Mashiach is folded into four, the Minchat Kohen Gadol is folded into two, and in either case are they broken off. Etc. But the main point that this Gemara is going to focus on is the last three words, Cholan Potetan B'Kizetim, of Yosef. So if Yosef brings in a side issue, which is Hai Chavitza, you have a cooked dish, a dish cooked in a pot, that has bread, maybe like a bread kugel in it. Ditba Perin Kazayit, it has pieces of bread, which are kazayit big. It's the bracha on the dish is hamotzi. If there are no pirurim that are kazayit big, you say mizonot. I'm Rav Yosef. Now, this is not talking about where you put flour in it mixed into the thing. We're taking pieces of bread. I'm Rav Yosef. And I'll prove to you that whether or not it's the size of a kazayit makes a difference. This is a brayta that also shows up in Ketzin Varchin in Brachot. If you were standing as a Kohen and offering Menachot, Omer Shach Shachianu Kimanu. So the Rambam says it's talking about when you're bringing the first grain of the season, you say Shachianu. Rashi adds in also, if you're a Kohen, it's the first time in your life, you're bringing a Menacha, doing a Vodas, you say Shachianu. Netalan L'Ochlan. When you come to eat the Menacha, Omer HaMotzi L'Acha Menaret, you make the Bracha Motzi. Utnan Cholan Ptitim Kezayit. So Rav Yosef says, and notice, that all the pieces have to be Kezayit big. Rav Yosef reasons, the reason that they have to be a kazayit big is to properly make hamotzi. But one, of course, doesn't follow from the other. It could be there's two separate halachot. One is you make hamotzi on whatever size it is. Second, well, the size is supposed to be kazayit. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye turns, has a different challenge. The Sultan, he says, against our Mishnah, that you break the menachot up until they come back to the size of flour. And that's what you then have to eat from. You're not going to make because the piece is not kazayit big. And if you think indeed that's the case, that according to Tanu Rishwal, you wouldn't make hamotzi. If you have a bunch of perurim, and you then put them together and make a kazayit out of them, you chayav karet if it's Pesach and it's chametz. Im matzahu, and if it's Pesach night and it's matzah, adam etzev en yichod over top Pesach. Yotze, which means that we consider it to be full bread, even though the pieces that you have are not a kazayit, as long as everything you put together amasses to a kazayit. So Rav Yosef's claim that each individual piece, or one individual piece, must be a kazayit big, doesn't seem to hold. So his answer is, Hachamai Askinim B'Shi'ir San. That case that we just mentioned about is where you took the pieces of bread and put them together and then redoed them, so they're all now one piece. It mentions in that braita about chametz and matzah that you're only chayv if you ate them b'chdei achila pras, which means within that short amount of time, enough to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread, etc. The famous shir for tumat begadim for coming into a bite menuga. If that's the case, achalomi b'ilei, the language should not be Sha'achalan, he ate them, the pieces, but if he put it together into a new piece of bread, it should be achalo, he ate it. So he gives a different answer. That's when you have the big loaf that's there, and these pieces all come from the loaf, and the loaf is still there, as Rashi points out, and then in that case, indeed, they would be considered bread, even though the individual pieces, which you have in your hand, amass to a kazayit, but none of them are that big individual. So my havi Allah, what's the final halacha about this chavitza? Even if you have smaller pieces in the pot, less than a kazayit, you still make hamotzi. But they have to look like bread. So we have now several halachot. We have Rav Sheshet versus Rav Yosef about the pieces of bread inside. Rav Yosef says that at least one of them has to be a kazayit to make hamotzi, otherwise it's mizonot. Sheshet says that they can be smaller than a kazayit if they are bread, but Rava says, but they have to indeed look like bread. Okay, we will pick it up in the next podcast at the next Mishnah, which will be the final podcast of this parak. Meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.